So good to see you all here this morning. Thankful that we're able to gather here. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, let's just get right into it. Beginning in verses 1 through 4, the Hebrews writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured against such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." You know, the book of Hebrews is a book that is written to invoke courage. It is written to Christians. It is evidently written to Christians who have been Christians for a long time. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says there, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers." So there comes a time when someone has been in Christ long enough that they ought, they're obligated, that's what that word ought means, to be teachers. But he said, "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." And so it's evident from the language here that these folks should have been at the point where they could instill courage to others. But they themselves had become discouraged. You know, what is courage? What does it mean to possess courage? And what is it to be discouraged? You know, courage is defined by Webster's Dictionary as mental or moral strength to face danger without fear. Now, does that mean that when I have to face a hard situation in my life that I will not at all be fearful? Does not mean that, certainly. But what would we define as fears? You know, what is fear? Fear itself is defined as the agitated feeling caused by the anticipation or the realization of danger, or that something may go contrary to one's hope. Being discouraged is defined also as being deprived of enthusiasm or courage to hinder by disfavor. To be deprived of enthusiasm or to be without zeal is to be discouraged. Fear can come from a lack of confidence in ourselves, a lack of confidence by others, and from obstacles which may appear which are unforeseen. Fears, whether real or imagined, are real to me and you, to me, and they are real to you. And so what then is courage? You know, courage is the decision to see a matter through because it is the right choice, regardless of how things may appear to hinder. If a choice was right yesterday, it will be right tomorrow. If the decision was made the right one to make, then it is the right one next week and next year and the next 10 years. And so it's the courage to see it through. The decision that you're not going to stop. And so that's what courage is. You know, the Christians that he's addressing here in the Hebrews letter were men and women who had made the right choice, but now they're faced with obstacles to their faith. You know, their families in many cases turned them out. They lost their relationship with their physical families, those that converted from Judaism to Christianity. They lost maybe their positions in the world and maybe their jobs and their careers or whatever it was they had. And so these things have come up. There are obstacles that they face, you know, from those around them, but also from the adversaries or the adversities that every life encounters. And they are in danger of losing their faith. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the soils, remember there, and there were two soils in particular I want to look at. Beginning there in verse 20, Jesus said that he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he is offended. You know, this is the Hebrew Christians. They're facing this tribulation and this persecution. But also, he says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. And so once again, these are the things that hinder all of us. These are the things that were hindering the Hebrew Christians. These are the things that can hinder us. And so what brings about courage? Well, what brings about courage is conviction. And conviction is the confidence of knowing the choices I have made are right. If I have chosen to follow Christ and to be His disciple, I've made the right choice. Conviction is that I've made that choice and I know it's right. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. And so how then, we've talked about courage, but how can we keep from being discouraged? How can I avoid being discouraged? I want to look at three things. The first one is I can avoid becoming discouraged if I will strengthen my faith daily. You know, what does it mean to strengthen? Dictionary.com defines the word strengthen as to make stronger, give strength to gain strength, to grow stronger. And so we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, we grow stronger. We strengthen our faith. And we must have a strong, unshakable faith, or else we can easily become discouraged. You know, Christianity, the Christian religion, is built on faith. It is a system of faith. You know, Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, that phrase there, from faith to faith, in the Greek literally means out of faith into faith. Out of the faith of the gospel into my own personal faith. It's when I make it personal, when I make it my faith, that becomes the point where I am converted fully to Christ. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, again we see the emphasis of faith. He said to them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so again, we see the emphasis on faith. Pardon me a moment. I hope that's my water bottle. It is now. John 8, verse 24 also. Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And so we see the importance of faith. We've got to have that faith to become a child of God. We've got to be strong in the faith that we're going to withstand the wiles of the devil. If we're going to withstand the trials and temptations of life. If we're going to keep from becoming discouraged to the point where we quit and we give up. Now, what is faith? You know, here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the Bible gives a definition of faith. In verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The substance, that's the foundation. It's the foundation of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 shows us the importance of faith. "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We see two aspects of faith there in verse 6. We believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, where does faith come from? Well, certainly it comes from the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. By faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith brings understanding, Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And so by faith we understand. We have the it comes by the Word of God, and we have understanding. You know, faith is more than a mere mental acknowledgement. In order to save, it must work. Again, the faith must become my faith, as we saw in Romans 1, 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, therefore in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Talking to the former Jews and the Gentiles. Doesn't matter. Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. But faith which worketh by love, that's what matters. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And so, in order to have faith, in order to save, it must work. And Hebrews 11, we see all throughout that chapter. You know, he referred to in Hebrews 12, 1, that cloud of witnesses. He's talking about all of the people mentioned here and all the acts of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 13, there it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They died in faith. We see that faith in action. They lived in faith. They died in faith. Faith will define our approach to every other avenue of life. And so to avoid discouragement, we need to strengthen our faith daily. To avoid being discouraged, I must maintain the right priority in my life. You see, what it's really about, it's about focus, isn't it? You know, focus is to concentrate, you know, to focus one's thoughts, to be or become focused, to direct one's attentions or efforts. You know, we've got to maintain the right priority. We've got to focus on the right things. You know, God has a defined order for all of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then Mark chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. If a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We've got to love God more than anything else, more than our own family, more than anything in the world. And we've got to take up our cross. You know, when Jesus said this to people in Jerusalem, in Judea, there under Roman occupation, when he said, you've got to take up your cross, the picture in their mind is that of someone being put to death. And Jesus is saying, you've got to put yourself to death. Take up your cross and follow me. That is our priority. That should be the focus of our life. You know, God made all the good things of this life. He made them for our enjoyments. Even good things, though, must be kept in a right priority. There are things that we do in our daily lives that there's nothing wrong with in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sports or enjoying, you know, hunting or fishing or all these things, but we cannot allow those things to become a higher priority in our lives than God. And so we've got to keep that focus. The world draws us away from our priorities. Even our own emotions can lead us where we do not need to go or should not be. You know, it's easy to be carried away with emotions. We look around at things in the world and they're not going the way we want them to. And you know, I can watch a news story or listen to someone or read a blog and it makes me angry to think about the things that are going on. And I can find my mind going in areas it doesn't need to go. And so we've got to refocus ourselves upon God. And not allow our emotions to pull us away either. You know, courage demands we keep our priorities clear, regardless of the cost and the sacrifice we must take. Again, take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, this can mean the sacrifice of the things of self. This can mean the sacrifice of the things for others. Sacrifice can be an exchange of what may even seem to be okay in order to achieve the goals of our convictions. You know, we affect others with our actions and our influence. We've got to, anything that hinders us, anything that in our lives that will hinder another person from following God, we've got to lay aside that as a weight that's holding us back. We've got to get rid of it. To avoid being discouraged, I must maintain the right priority in my life. My good friend Travis Main always likes to say, always remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what we need to do. Keep the main thing the main thing. And so to avoid being discouraged, I need to strengthen my faith daily. I need to maintain the right priority in my life. And I can avoid being discouraged by keeping the big picture before me. You know, big picture, according to Merriam-Webster.com, means the entire perspective on a situation or issue, used with the big picture. The big picture is always more important than the present. You know, we live in the here and now, but we must not just live for the here and now. We need to be living for and keeping our eyes toward the future, toward that goal, which is heaven. You know, some never learn soon enough that we must live with our choices of today. You know, I used to talk to my kids about this. I have an eagle tattoo, and I called it the dirty bird. Got that dirty bird because I was dumb, and I wasn't thinking about 20 years later when I wouldn't want it to have it. And, well, you know, I don't want it, but it's there. I'm stuck with it. You know, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have done that. I would not have put that on my arm. But it was a choice I made, and I'm still living with it. You know, many decisions have effects that last for a lifetime. And so be careful to choose well. Be careful not to let bad choices of the past bring us back to where we came from. You know, Christianity is about forgetting the past. You know, if there's any Christian that has ever lived that had a great amount of things that they needed to get beyond that were in their past, it was the Apostle Paul. You think about when we are first introduced to the Apostle Paul, what is he doing? He is holding the cloaks of the men that are killing, murdering the first Christian martyr, a man by the name of Stephen. The next we see of Paul, he is persecuting the church in Jerusalem, driving men and women away. They had to run away. They had to flee into the countryside because of Paul's persecution. He wasn't done, though. He followed them. He went all the way to Damascus, to another country, to persecute Christians. And he met Christ in the road, and his life changed from that moment. He had a lot that could have... You know, I sometimes think about the stupid things I've said or done. And, you know, you feel that guilt even though, you know, well, that was a long time ago and I've been forgiven of that. That was another person that lived. I died. That person that committed those sins, he's dead. He was buried. Those sins were washed away. And yet, still, 20, 30, 40 years later, kicked myself for the stupid things I said and did. You know, Paul could have been like that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, notice what he says. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." And so we can't let the past, we can't let the things around us, the persecutions, the distresses, the trials, the cares of this life, we cannot allow them to distract us from the focus, from the big picture. You know, sometimes we need to learn to forgive others, but we also need to learn to forgive ourselves. And sometimes, again, I have a hard time with that. You know, life is successful, though, if we set the right goals. So we need to make a wise choice. We need to stick with the choice and have the courage and the conviction to see it to the finish. You know, to fail, though, in some phase or other of our journey does not make us a failure. You think about Thomas Edison and how many times he failed when it came to making any of his inventions, and yet many of his inventions are with us still to this day. He failed hundreds of times, thousands of times, and yet he didn't give up, and he made some of the greatest inventions of the modern age. To fail at some point does not make us failures. You know, the Hebrews writer warns in chapter 11 of the real and certain dangers of living for God. You know, if you look in Hebrews 11, verse 36, says, "And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they would," or "they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are laid about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He tells them, he reminds us that there were dangers that these Old Testament people faced. There were trials, there were difficulties. It says of one who was sawn asunder. According to legend, that was a reference to Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was sawn in half, tortured to death. And so he warns that there is a real and certain danger if we live for God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, that will live godly in Christ Jesus, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, failing in the sense of stumbling as to fall is common to everyone. Being a failure, though, is different. It is a lifestyle that is learned. You know, one who is a failure never learns from their mistakes. So he or she continues to do the same things that brought about a life of despair. Courage, though. Courage learns. Conviction comes from wise observation. And so we can avoid being discouraged if we will strengthen our faith daily, if we will keep our focus where it ought to be, maintain the right priority, make the main thing the main thing. And we can avoid being discouraged by reminding and keeping in our minds the big picture, that we're not just living for the now. We live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We live in the now, but we need to consider the then, the future. And we need to look to that. You know, courage comes because courage learns. Convictions come from wise observation. You know, Christianity, you know, the Christian religion is a religion of hope. It is a living hope, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses, or chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It is a living hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. There says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It is a religion of hope. We have hope of eternal life. We have that living hope, that lively hope in Jesus Christ. You know, it is real. The hope is real because the promises that back it up are real. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You know, Thomas says, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, Christianity is a living hope because we have a living Savior. A Savior who is resurrected, who died on the cross for our sins, who was resurrected from that grave, who ascended back to the Father, who sent the Spirit down to inspire the Word that gives faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It is through faith that we are saved, through faith. Now, what is faith? It is not simply a mental acknowledgement, but it is a conviction. It is a convicted life. It is a life living, following God. We first believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that brings us to want to change our life for the better, to turn away from the sin that put him on the cross, to repent of our sins. We must confess that we believe, and we must be baptized to have our sins washed away, and then to live in Christ, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we must continue to walk in the light. We must continue and not give in to discouragements, not allow things of this world to turn us away, but to keep our conviction and to keep following and have the courage and the faith and trusting in the hope that is set before us through Jesus Christ. Today, if you're here and you are not a child of God, we urge you to put on Christ in baptism. If you are today here as one who has been a child of God but has not been faithful, you're like the Hebrews Christians. You're wavering in your faith, or your faith has failed you or fallen. We're here to help you to be restored to that faith, help you to once more live in a right relationship with God. Today, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, let us know as we stand and as we sing.